What is going on, Panthers Nation? Carolina Dad here, your host of the Two Growls, One for a Podcast. Hey, folks, for my podcast only listeners or watchers, if you watch on Spotify, I realized it's been, 12 or 13 days since I posted a new episode on there. I was looking back at Spotify for Podcasters, which is what I use for all my podcast production to get get everything distributed out there, and realized it'd been longer than a week, which is not my usual, right? Get at least one episode out a week. So last night I tried to record, ran into some issues, recorded the whole episode, went to cut it, audio wasn't there. Still having audio issues with the microphone, which is why it's there and not here, the audio box. I've got a running checklist of just things that I've got to get through. But today, hey, welcome in, folks. Welcome into your normal episode. It is draft season. Today, we're going to talk about the top 30 visits. Also got some exciting news for the Two Growls, One for Podcast and the content that comes along with it. Let's jump right in. Welcome in. Outside of the top 30 visits, we're also going to talk about the pressers that we had this week. So there was Derek Brown, Tracy Smith, who's our special teams coordinator, and Ibero. Let's go ahead and talk about the podcast, folks, because I do have some exciting news, or at least I hope it's exciting news for you and everyone that follows the show. Earlier this week, actually like 2 or 3 days ago, I officially launched the Two Growls, One Roar website. So the way that it is on all my socials, it's the number two growls, the actual number one, and then roar.com, twogrowlsoneroar.com. It's a work in progress, but it, you know, similar to how I started the show, how I added video content. Now we got bubbles popping up here. I don't know what the heck is going on with the bubbles popping up. I'm using QuickTime. That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Maybe if I just keep flashing up thumbs, do we get bubbles? No? No idea how I just made that happen. That distracted me. I just saw a bubble pop up. What is going on? Speaking of bubbles, and that's like Pearson's favorite song. Totally different tangent, but similar to how I've kind of going through the progression, what I realized is like, you just got to do it, rip the Band-Aid off. And that's exactly what I did with this website. So I ripped the Band-Aid off. We have one welcome article. It's not really much. The next article that I published was last night, and it's not much, but it's a list of the top 30 visits. So a tracker for you. I'm going to be going out and adding some sources to those, to that list, I should say. We're going to talk about the top 30 visits here in a little bit, what we're seeing, what we haven't seen, as far as like who are the prospects that we're talking to. So that'll be the bulk of the show at the end. But folks, I appreciate everyone that is following the show, whether it is YouTube, whether you are watching or listening, wherever you get your podcast, it is truly appreciated. Can't thank you all enough for the growth of this show and people leaving positive comments, people engaging with the content. That's one thing. The other thing I wanted to highlight is, and this is all newish for me, I now have member-only access for the YouTube channel. And for me, this is probably the most mind-blowing thing out of this entire journey. Out of this entire journey that I've been on, I never would have imagined I'd be able to create content behind a membership option that I offer. So it's 99 cents, again, folks. And what you get with that is early access to everything that I publish. So for those who don't know, usually my schedule is I'll come on here once a week, probably record an hour's worth of content. Some days I have to split it up into 2 days. I try to record 3, 4, 5 videos worth of content. I actually go ahead, take all that, upload it, and then throughout the week, I'll work on getting out thumbnails, descriptions, but what I'm doing is going to give members early access to all that content as soon as it's uploaded. So as soon as it's uploaded, it goes into member-only status, so you can watch it earlier than anyone else, and join right along. And hey, if you don't want to be a member, that's fine too. Eventually, the stuff will be rolled out for you so that you can follow along with the show and get up to date with everything that's happening. But I do want to call that out. I don't know about the YouTube stuff with like Super Chat and all that. I am going to go live stream here in just a little bit, maybe. But it's exciting times. Also working on a shirt. And as we talk about just everything that's happened, I know this is kind of like a larger show update. I want to shout out to everyone that participated in the Two Growls, One Roar podcast bracket challenge. You can't see it. I wonder if I could zoom in. Nope. Back behind me, of course, y'all know I'm a North Carolina fan. And unfortunately, North Carolina got bumped, which means my bracket was busted. Terrible, terrible times, right? Anyways, shout out to the folks that participated in that. I think O'Neill Cruz was the winner, the official winner, and actually came down to him and Reverend Saul. Both tied points-wise. It came down to the total points scored in the title game. And so that was what separated the two. Ended up giving hoodies coming for the overall winner. Reverend Saul is a great supporter of the show. So I said, hey, man, I'll try to hook you up with a shirt as well. So we're going to have a shirt coming out for him. And so we do have a shirt. Y'all know about the hoodies. You've seen me wear the hoodies, seen me promote the hoodies. Those are available. The ordering of them isn't great right now, but hey, they're out there, and I'm tweaking the design of the shirt so that I can get shirts out in the market or have them available for y'all. Man. All right, let's talk about football because this is a football podcast, football show, and sure, all those things are great. Maybe you like hearing about that, but you probably want to hear about Panthers football. We heard from Derrick Brown this week. If you've not had a chance, go out and watch his presser. I'm ecstatic to have him back, right? Having him back in the Carolinas, it means a lot. It means a lot for the defensive front. It means a lot for the team, for other guys on this roster that can look around and say, hey, you know what? Maybe this new front office is going to take care of the players, and we're not going to have to go through the motion of worrying, am I going to be here at the end of my contract? Am I going to get traded? And I mean, those things will happen. It's just the nature of this business, but at least it gives some reassurance for some of the guys on this team. Derrick Brown getting settled in. Sounds like the biggest purchase that's on his mind right now with his new contract is going to be a pool. Hey, love that, man. You know, down at the beach one day, hopefully we will have a pool here, because I can tell you the community pool, which I'm fortunate to have, community pool gets very crowded in the summer. Beach is fun. Beach is fun. I love going to the beach, but you get all sandy, you get sand everywhere. You have to travel, pack everything up, haul it out. It's fun just being able to step into your backyard. So good for him. And what this does, it solidifies that interior, a young interior. Derrick Brown's going to likely be an all-pro at some point, should be at least, you know, over the next, what, 2 or 3 years. I could see that happening in his future. Absolutely a pro bowler, and should be a pro bowler almost every season based on the stats that he puts up. Great run stopper. You're going to be pairing him alongside the interior with Tuttle, A'shaun Robinson, throwing out Clowney on one side. Going to have DJ Wonnum on the other. Very, very big and stout up front. So I'm just glad that we have him. The other thing is it freed up cap space. I don't know if you watched the Derrick Brown video, but we went from having roughly $11 million cap hit to around $6 million. It was right under $5 million in savings, but that savings helps because it opens up the cap space a little bit. I think we have like $8 or $9 million right now in open cap. Big portion of that's going to be devoted to the draft, but you still anticipate that hopefully you're going to get somebody in here, aka Stephon Gilmore, potentially another veteran or two as we get closer to training camp. Now let's talk about the coaches, because that's another change this year. And we know about the stability. I guess let's talk about the stability. I'm going to flip it. So last night I talked about Tracy Smith first. Today I'm going to talk about Ejiro Evero first. Got to hear from him for the first time since, what, the end of the season, I believe? I don't know that we've heard from him since then, at least from what I've been tracking. So got to hear from him directly from the Panthers, holding a presser. got some hard-hitting questions out of the gate. I think Mike Kay kind of led things off talking through just his time going through the interview process, what that was like to go out, interview for a head coaching position, and then be back here in Carolina, of course, not getting the job. Like, that's a tough cycle to go through twice, and especially interviewing twice on the same team and not getting the job and still being here. But he handles everything with class. That's who he is. Very excited, of course, to have Derrick Brown back on this roster. We know we're going to miss out on Brian Burns and Frankie Louvu. But throughout this offseason, he has brought in his guys, guys that he's worked with before, primarily in Denver, some out when he was with LA. You look at a Jesse Jewell, look at a Fuller at safety. So you've got some of those guys coming over that have worked with him previously. You bring over a Jackson at cornerback who, as we heard, is going to try to compete for that second cornerback's position, starter. I don't know. We still look at the draft. We're still going to lead on Gilmore. That was even brought up, like, hey, would you like a Stephon Gilmore to come here? I think we're just going to get that cycle of question because of Clowney, because we've had interest, and because he's been on the team before, even though he's a little bit older. So I think that's just going to be the nature of this until hopefully Stephon gets signed. The nice thing he did talk about, or one of the things he talked about too, was just having the same staff in place from last year, which is very rare in the NFL, not just from team to team, but just in general, like having your staff remain. And I know it's kind of unique circumstances because he couldn't really go anywhere. You know, the Panthers would have said had to let him go, you know, move on somewhere. But so he's kind of stuck since he didn't get a head coaching position. But to not have anybody under you, I think that's, you know, when you talk about some of the pieces coming back and or new pieces, it's great to have a staff that's been there, done that for 1 year in this cycle, and now can take all that expertise and experience in this new 3-4 defense and carry it over into the next year. And again, you bring in the guys that Ejiro has worked with before. So exciting times. And he talked about his family getting settled here and finally kind of feeling settled in Carolina. I'll caveat that, like, I don't know if he's going to be here much longer than a year or two. It feels like, you know, as he's heating up in these coaching hires and the cycles, that eventually he's going to land and get a head coaching opportunity, whether it's in the next year or two, to be determined. And it's funny, you know, last year coming into this, I said I felt like all three coordinators could be head coaching candidates at some point. Chris Tabor, a firing, was able to experience that. We got to see, of course, Ejiro not make it through, and then Thomas Brown now moving on to the pass game coordinator for the Bears. So lots and lots of moving parts, but still feel very highly on Ejiro and glad he's going to be here another year. Talked about Ejiro Rivera. We also heard from Tracy Smith, who is the new special teams coordinator. This is really my first time hearing from him, because I didn't really, you know, follow a lot of his stuff before. Of course, the main topic that came up in discussion was around the new kickoff rules. And that makes sense because it's the biggest change in the special teams game since they moved back the extra point a few years ago. Lots of thoughts and philosophies around how Tracy Smith wants to handle this. He talked about, hey, I've watched 400 kickoffs from similar leagues, so the XFL has a similar rule. But he did want to highlight, although the XFL has a similar model, it's not exactly like the NFL. So XFL was 10 across the line straight up. With the NFL, you do have some flexibility in alignment. So it'll be a little bit different than the model that we saw in the XFL. But it's a huge change to the game. The question was, well, is this going to help the game in the next 5 years? Like, is this the point that we want to be in the same way that we are with the extra point? You hope so. Of course, there's probably going to be modifications, but you're going to have everyone learning this at the same time. He mentioned that at his presser that they were going to have a call for the special teams coordinator, special team folks, that afternoon to learn more about this. And I think what you see or possibly see in early September, October may be different than how it shapes out at the end of the season. because teams are going to get adjusted. It's going to take some time. People got to get more familiar. I think for me, and we're going to talk about the rule changes in much more detail in the offseason. I say later in the offseason, like this summer, because we'll have some time. I know I've talked about it a little bit, but I'm interested to see how it changes the kicking game, because you look at the differences in the touchback and how the touchback gives favorable field position for a team. If you kick it into the end zone or if you kick it short, there's different rules around how this plays out for the return team. So now from a kicking standpoint, it used to be, hey, we'll just kick the ball as far as we can. It'll go in the end zone. You're not going to get a return. Now you're going to have your kicker having the ability to place the ball. And that may mean, kicking it a little bit higher. So it becomes more or less, if you think about a golf game and a chip and putt, it's going to be that. It's like, getting your distance and timing right so that you're within, 10 feet of the hole, 5 feet of the hole, and you're not driving it over the green, which is what I would do, or driving it way short and flubbing it. Because all those things play. If you hit it short, if you hit it long, falls in a certain range, like all that is going to play into this, which is, it's going to be very weird. No doubt about it, watching this evolve and change. When you talked about kickers, as we talked about kicking there, one of the things that Mike, was like, hey, do you plan to bring in some guys, extra legs in training camp? Last year the Panthers had Matthew Wright, who also finished the season a few games with Pinheiro being out. They had Wright in the preseason as Pinheiro was kind of battling through, some soft tissue issues. To be determined, but he said, like, now is the time to do that. Now is the time when you want to bring in a kicker. When you bring someone in that you can get a look at now, because all the NFL teams carry 32 kickers. Not many teams are going to carry a kicker on their practice squad or a punter. So all the guys are sitting home on their couch. He said, now's the time to get that evaluation in to, understand the next batch or group of guys. So that's definitely something that's on his mind as you prepare. I think the other thing that he was talking through was just the change in dynamic with the new rule change, how it's going to impact special teams. Of course, thinking about return guys, guys in general that may be special teams guys. And as we talk about special teams, I'm getting it pulled up here. Sorry, it took a second. One of the other items he talked about was Darren Bates, the hiring of Darren Bates, who, again, if you don't know, he coached Darren Bates a little bit during his time, I think he said, in Oakland, the Raiders, and in Houston. So he's coached him throughout his career. But he talked about Bates making a career out of special teams, playing 9 or 10 years in the league on special teams. So his hope or thought is like, hey, we can, teach guys that, hey, maybe a Sam, I know Sam Franklin's probably a really good example, that you can last a long time in the league playing on special teams, whether it's kickoff return, punt return. There are places for guys to do things really well, make tackles, make blocks, and have longevity in their career. So I'm excited to see that, and I'm glad that we've got that experience and someone who's been there and done that throughout this process. I think that was really the gist of the Brown Presser, Tracy Smith, Ejeri Evero. That was pretty much all that was talked about. There was probably a little bit more, and I'm sure I missed, but as I work on writing, which that's another thing I'm excited about, as I take a break, as I work on more content, I said this last night, of course you didn't get to hear it, when I created this website, last year, earlier in the season, I had Twitter Premium. When I had Twitter Premium, I could go out and write articles. You can write really long form content. I wrote like 2 or 3 pages during the season. But when I did that, it helped the podcast so much. It made podcast episodes so much easier. And I think the thing I struggle with right now is I put a lot of effort into some of these episodes, which you may or may not have seen, whether it's breaking down contracts or dollar amounts, rankings, positional groups, depth charts. Like, I do a lot of stuff. And I lose it on Twitter because it just goes out into the void. And now I'm going to have a place to, like, oh, this is everything that I've talked about. This is everything that I'm thinking about with the show. So I'm excited to see where that can go. Now, let's talk about top 30 visits. So again, I'm going to be adding the resources to this page, which you can go out to twogrowlswonderroar.com. Yes, website is live, and take a look at the top 30 visits that have been confirmed for the Carolina Panthers. I changed my grouping by position, so you can go out and see which positions. It's pretty clear which one of these groups we're doing a lot of talking to, which is wide receivers, right? Wide receiver is going to be the talk of this entire draft class for the Carolina Panthers. But on this list, we have Brendan Rice out of University of Southern Cal. It's not a Jerry Rice, right? Big name right there. Wide receiver Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. You know, a lot of folks are higher on him. Is he going to be around in the third round? I think that's to be determined. I think he's getting a lot of visits as well. Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Jalen McMillan out of Washington, Tez Walker out of North Carolina. So those are the ones I had confirmed so far. And I've not updated the list, but I think, and I'm going to pull it here in a second, there have been a few more wide receivers. So Troy Franklin, you can add him to the list. So another guy that made it through. I was looking out at what I had, but I think that was the main one for the wide receiver group. At least to this point, I've not seen Ladd McConkey's name pop up on here. And I don't know if y'all have seen that video of Ladd, but man, that dude can move. Separation, great route running. I would be excited to have him. I know I was kind of down on him at first, but just watching him play, seeing some of his, not highlights, but watching him go through, you know, this draft process, that'd be a fantastic move for the Carolina Panthers. Edge, we have Marshawn Nealand out of Michigan, another name that's coming up for a lot of folks. Give me one second. We had also had defensive tackle Mason Smith out of LSU and defensive tackle Rook or Horro out of Clemson. So a few more interior defensive linemen. I know that's not edge, which is what I was referencing, but gives you a good idea. Linebackers, we've had Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M, Peyton Wilson out of NC State. I think that technically counts as a local visit. Running backs, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, Trey Benson out of Florida State. Tight end, Jatavion Sanders out of Texas, or Saunders if that's how you want to pronounce it. Tight end, Ben Sinat out of Kansas State. And offensive line, Jordan Morgan out of Arizona was the latest confirmation. Now, the Panthers also, I'm just looking through. Oh, also reportedly met with Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon. I know I mocked this a few times, but there is a possibility if, you know, things fall the way that they could, where you have two Oregon guys going first. You have Jackson Powers Johnson and Troy Franklin going out of the first two picks for the Carolina Panthers. That's absolutely a possibility. But that's your top 30 visit tracker to this point. So a few things that we've noticed. Wide receiver, top priority, even though the Panthers have done a great job, I would say, this offseason, picking up some guys. Like, don't forget Amir Smith-Marset bought back. Don't forget Terrace Marshall Jr. is here. Don't forget David Moore has been signed. Lots of names, lots of bodies, but we're still going to go out and get a receiver. And, of course, Johnson, right? Deontay Johnson's the big one. At the edge position, I think the Panthers are in a better position. You know, the Panthers spend a draft pick on an edge last year with DJ Johnson. You come back this year, and I know it's new staff, new regime. Do you want to get an edge? If you get an edge, you have to get one early. You got to get one in the second pick, in my second round, in my opinion. Possibly third, you could get an impact player. But you've got to get one early. Otherwise, you know, further down, it's going to be unpolished. And, yeah, those guys can develop and maybe have an impact, but it's just harder to do. The linebacker position, which I too think, you know, Shaq Thompson's going to be back. Shaq Thompson healthy. Jesse Jewell again on the other side. He's not a Frankie Louvu, but hey, he's got his best season or best production when he was coached by Ejiro. So maybe there's something there. Still think linebacker's top of mind. Running back. Running back is an interesting one. When we talk about the running back position, there's a lot to talk about there because we've got three backs on the team. Y'all know Chuba, Miles Sanders, Raheem Blackshear. You got three guys on the practice squad, Tariq Cohen, Mike Boone, and Spencer Brown. Six total guys. Panthers are still looking for playmakers. And I think the reason that they are is there's a lot of things. One, Chuba Hubbard's on a contract year. Next year, if Miles Sanders does not pan out this year, there's an opportunity for the Panthers to move on from him. Raheem Blackshear on a one-year contract. All the other guys, practice squad. So there is probably a move for the Panthers to get their guy or have Canales get a back that he thinks will fit into his offensive scheme. Not saying that the guys we have on the roster can't, because I fully believe in them. But I think that's why you're seeing a running back come up. And we've just seen year over year, especially the last 2 years, what the running back market has looked like. It's been a change, man. It's been quite a change from what we were accustomed to with running backs getting paid. Next on the list, we have tight ends again, which I was talking about. Tight end, we're going to have a lot of folks referencing this Swiss Army knife that Canales is looking for. That was a statement that he made. Although he's confident in the tight ends, Sullivan, Thomas, Trimble, I do think we need a pass-catching tight end that can put up 500 yards out of the gate. 500-yard receiving tight end in this offense is what we need. And we've seen it happen in Tampa Bay. We saw it happen in Tampa Bay and what that can look like. We've seen success in offenses with Geno Smith. Again, Baker Mayfield, when you're thinking about the quarterbacks, and I know they aren't as far as Dave Canales being the coordinator when he was in Seattle. That was not a thing. He's quarterback's coach. But the success that comes with that. Then offensive line. Again, offensive line, I think really the question mark is going to be center. But if the Panthers, like, for some reason have just, like, best player available, it's, I don't know, it's hard for me to imagine a tackle at this point, just knowing that you have Icky, you have Yash. It's like, I can't see us spending it on a tackle this year, maybe next year if things haven't panned out. Still waiting to see what's going to happen with Moten, by the way. On the final year, $29 million, Panthers may just be sitting back and say, you know what, we're just going to, you know, keep you on that contract. Let's talk about an extension in the offseason or next year and see what production looks like this season. I don't know. It's hard to know. I know I just went through the other video, if you haven't seen it, where we broke down offensive line grades. And this is, on paper, projected to be a top five offensive line for pass protection. On paper, though, folks. Always on paper. I have to caveat that. I think the biggest thing that's missing on this list, at least for visits that have been confirmed or we've seen, has to be a cornerback, right? We still need a cornerback. And I don't know, though. It's like, what are the priorities of this team? Who's available on draft day? Do we think we're going to get a cornerback this year? I would think so. But honestly, it just depends. Like, I think the nice thing about the list that we've seen so far is, like, no matter where you sit on, like, I like this receiver over this receiver or this interior lineman over this one or this linebacker, the names that we are looking at are football players. And it's not a lot of this guessing, weird, hey, I'm going to bring the guy this, that I knew from Baylor or Temple, or it's not Frank and Scott Fitter bringing in these kind of no-name guys that may not even get drafted. So I feel good about this. And pairing that with what we've done in the offseason, confident in what the Carolina Panthers can do. Well, folks, I think that's going to do it for today. A little bit longer episode, but compared to my norm's like, what, 15 minutes now? 20 minutes tops? You know what? 30-minute episode every now and then doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt anyone, does it, right? If you're still here, if you can like, subscribe, follow the show, whatever you do on your podcast platforms, I would Greatly appreciate that. And until next time, this is Carolina Dad. Y'all have a good one.